Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Just a couple of best friends and Clipper credential media folks who bring you Locked On Clips 5 days a week.
We made it. And I'm going to be honest, I'm still buzzing off of last night's win.
Yes, I am too. No, I am too. I have pause only because I don't know fully what the implications are for the starters.
No, not at all.
Does give me pause, but it's a great win. It's a feel-good win.
For sure.
Feel-good win of the season, but we got to look ahead because there are more games to be played.
Which is bullshit.
The Clippers have game one of their series against the Spurs, the day that you're listening to this. So Aldridge is out of the lineup, and it looks like there's officially going to be no Serge or Bev.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about what we need to do well to win that one, as well as what could go wrong, give you a couple of key matchups to take a look at, and then... It's What You Say Wednesday. Every single Tuesday, we put a poll out on Twitter. We want to know what you think. This one is with 2 days remaining until the trade deadline.
Oh, man.
There have been reports that the Clippers are scouring the league.
Such an intense
very, very intense. For point guard help. We wanted to know if you think that the Clippers need another point guard. Excited to talk about what everyone thought. And then in shavings, we're going to talk about the weird silence of the trade deadline up to thus far. Yes. And the best defender ever for the Clippers. And the worst. Oh, yeah. All that and more coming up right about now. But first, gotta let you know, today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
Oh, yeah.
At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right. Clippers versus Spurs round one. No Serge or Bev. They did not travel with the team, so they will not be there for the game the day after you listen to this podcast.
How hurt is Serge? I'm kind of at the point with this where I think just let him sit. Just let him sit as long as possible.
Yeah.
Especially with Patrick Beverley. If we don't end up making a trade for a point guard, which we will talk about in the next segment, I think you just, if he doesn't play the rest of the season and he can be ready for the playoffs, I think
you're
that you gamble on
the next like 27
games. Yeah, you scrap
like,
it.
That's a good call. What we need to do well on this one, we got to protect the paint and hope the threes that we do allow don't all go to Derek White. The Spurs average the third fewest three-point attempts in the league and the second most two-point attempts. So this kind of makes me think the Clippers are probably going to play some drop coverage and pick and roll.
I mean, totally. It makes sense that, you know, the Spurs score a higher percentage of their points in the mid-range than any other team in the league. So I hope we read the scouting report on that one and we're not giving them those shots that they're really comfortable with.
Yeah. They shoot 36% as a team, which is 18th in the league, which is mind-blowing if you think about
it. It's wild.
Just basketball in general. So we're going to give up some threes and I just hope they don't fall.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Patty Mills will probably be hitting.
Oh, God, we're going to talk about him next. What else do we got to do well in this one?
So we need to have a strong presence on the boards.
Yeah.
The Spurs don't prioritize offensive rebounding. They're a bottom five offensive rebounding team in terms of percentage in the league. They like to rush back on defense, which presents its own troubles.
Yeah.
So we need Zoo to limit any other second chance opportunities. I think him versus Poeltl is going to be kind of interesting to watch. Fun to watch. Both a couple young seven footers.
Yeah.
Going at it. So the Spurs also give up a ton of points on second chance points. So hopefully, the offensive rebounding for Zoo, which has looked really good as of recent, can continue that trend.
I was astonished. I was looking up his offensive rebounds per game numbers. It's only 2.4.
Oh, I thought it was like four.
Dude.
He's had four, though, in the last couple of games, right?
He splits them pretty evenly when he gets to like 8 or 9 range. It's usually like a 5-3 split or something like that.
That's solid. And as I said, since they rush back to defend in transition, we got to push the pace off of those rebounds as well as we can. You know, maybe we see some, especially with that second unit, we kind of pick up the pace a little bit more, which they have been really good at. The Spurs are a good defense. They have a top 10 defensive rating.
Yeah.
This Which is a weird I did not at, expect.
So no. We also got to take advantage of the few turnovers the Spurs will give up. They're only giving up 11 turnovers a game. It's best in the league. They're also number one in turnover percentage, so it's very real stats.
Very disciplined.
Yes. Any turnover that the Clippers snag has to be converted to point.
Yeah.
It just has to.
Yeah. Like, we did an okay job last time. I think we only had like 13 turnovers. They only had 10.
Yeah. Hopefully it's, yeah, hopefully you do. What could go wrong in this one?
So if our shooting goes cold, we're not going to be able to get to the line. They don't foul. They don't foul shooters. Yeah. So we need to hit shots and not be afraid to play aggressive around the rim. Basically, you got to have the made field goal because, you know, you're not going to get bailed out most likely.
More good discipline.
Yes. They're a top five team in terms of opponent free throw attempt rate. They just don't send teams to the line. And that's, you know, that's hard.
Very Utah Jazzian.
Yeah.
In that regard.
That's such a Spursian stat, I just feel like. Like, not never fouling.
Yeah. This is kind of an intangible one. If the intensity isn't there from the beginning on the first night of a back-to-back team, and this is a bigger issue with the Clippers. If they don't look good out of the gate, it's just kind of hard for them to get going. Sometimes it takes the whole starting unit being benched.
Yeah. This is not the team to not show up with the right intensity either.
No. And after the benching, I don't think the team will come out flat, but I, at the very same time, have no idea.
It's so inconsistent and, you know, injuries and stuff only contribute to that, but
for sure
we got to put our best foot forward. If we get killed in transition, this is going to be a very tough game. That game that three-point loss, they blew us out on the fast break, 26-8. This is a team with legs.
Damn,
they score about 12% of their total points off the fast break. That's,
I mean, Derek White's
10.
Quick. DeJounte Murray's huge, like super fast. Shout out Rainier Beach. Yeah, and that goes hand in hand with the intensity, right?
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, defending in transition is so much about effort. It's just, I mean, like, obviously, you know, you got to be situationally aware, but so much of that is just being willing to rush the fuck back.
Yeah. Key matchups in this one, point of attack defense versus DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan averages the fifth most drives per game at 18.5. Number one in the league, our old buddy Shea.
Hey.
Love it. Love to see it. Look, we've seen his mid-range abilities kill us before. I'm hoping. So the weird thing about that Hawks game is, like, right in the beginning, the defense looked like it was flying around and it was crisp, and then it just kind of went away. So they got to be coming out quick in this one to just at least try and demoralize them from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's one of those things, too, where, man, when they start making some back-breaking shots when you're doing all you can on defense, I think you start to get in your own head a little bit.
Yeah, like, and if shots aren't falling, you're just like, shit, okay, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
But you have a nice note in here about Kawhi versus DeMar.
Oh, I mean, he absolutely stifled him last time. Through 12 possessions, DeMar didn't attempt a single field goal. This is a guy with about a 25% usage rate.
Oh, he shoots. I mean,
he's a key to the Spurs. He is this Spurs offense.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's astounding.
Defensively, I'm not sure who can hang with Kawhi and PG. We didn't have Paul George the first time we played the Spurs way back in January.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see a good 2-1-3 game.
Decade ago.
Very, very long. And then the bench defense versus Patty Mills.
Yeah.
We all know what Patty Mills can do.
If you're listening to this podcast, you know what Patty Mills does and has done.
In January, he went 8 of 12 from 3 to help the Spurs.
He was their leading scorer. He sealed this game with free throws.
And in his last 5 games, he's shooting 42% on 8 3-pointers a game. So we just might have to put Kawhi PG on him over Saturday.
Dude, that'd be wild.
We might have to, dude.
That would be wild.
If we're giving up threes and it's Patty Mills taking them, it's going to be tough. DeJounte Murray, another person we got to worry about, like, they just got some guys. They have great cutters. Like, I'm really looking at Zoo to have a big game in this one positionally. Terrence Mann has been playing great. He's going to, I mean, I'm excited to see Terrence Mann against whoever he ends up guarding because he hustles. You know, he's fighting around screens. Like,
you think we'll need a shot at Kennard in this one?
Dude, Kennard might have to start. Like, people are talking about it.
We've entertained the idea. I mean, I don't know.
It only took me one game of the greatest basketball that Luke Kennard has maybe ever played in his life.
He said it was one of the top two most fun games he's ever played.
It had to have
ever
been, dude. That half court Euro step that is also, he looks one way, deeks back over, and then, it's insane. What's your prediction in this one?
I think we are able to keep the streak going. I don't know, like,
I don't know about the day after.
Yeah, I still have huge questions about us, you know, going, shutting out these Spurs through this series, but I think we can maybe get to a nice little streak of 3 wins.
Be a good time. Coming up, we're going to be talking what everyone thinks about training for a point guard, which might happen. Who knows? Only one day left after you're listening to this podcast. We're recording this on Tuesday. But it's time to highlight the Ultra Player of the Week. We just talked about him. Joy creates success. And this week's Michelob Ultra Player of the Week is Luke Kennard.
Gotta be!
The Clippers don't win that game without Luke Kennard against the Hawks. He made it very difficult to not play him from here on out. And he embodied one of my least favorite cliches, which is next man up. He embodied that.
Oh, yeah.
He came in cold and absolutely lit the game on fire. Could he end up starting in a few games if Bev remains out and Reggie doesn't have it? Maybe. Maybe he should. Kawhi looked pretty comfortable with him on the floor, which was nice. We don't know what's going to happen with that. But what we do know is that Michelob Ultra has just 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Hey, what a day. Wonder which Clippers player will be the next week's Ultra Player of the Week. Michelob Ultra, are you happy because you win? Or do you win because you're happy? And what else can you do when you're happy?
When you're happy, you've got to watch some movies.
Oh, I love movies.
And other content. And the place to go is Paramount Plus. March Madness has returned, and Paramount Plus has the games you won't want to miss. You can watch CBS games live on Paramount Plus, including the Final Four and the National Championship game on April 5th.
Hey.
Mark your calendars.
Oh, yeah.
Paramount Plus is also the home to year-round sports, including the Masters, the PGA Championship, Champions League, and Europa League. They also got the NFL and more. It's not just movies, folks.
No, it's everything.
Plus, you can get breaking news, expert picks, and highlights from all of your favorite teams with CBS Sports HQ, a 24/7 sports news network.
That's fantastic. All you got to do is visit ParamountPlus.com before March 31st to receive a one-month free trial of Paramount Plus. That's ParamountPlus.com to receive a one-month free trial of Paramount Plus. Check it out.
All right, so we're back with What You Say Wednesday. Look, so reportedly the Clippers are scouring.
Dude, that's such an aggressive.
Scouring.
I don't think they're scouring for a point guard. I think they're trying to find a veteran guy who can fill basically Pat Bev's role.
Yeah, what was the last thing you scoured for?
Probably rocks when I was a small child. You know, trying to find gems or something like that. What about you? Oh, no, Miami Dolphins gear. That's what I usually scour for. I immediately take that back.
Someone mistakenly took my keys from my house like a couple weeks back.
It was,
and I would say I scoured for my keys.
Hannah felt really bad about that. She felt bad. But we asked Clipper Nation on Twitter, with 2 days until the trade deadline, it's reported the Clippers are scouring the league for a point guard help. Do you think they should make a trade for another point guard? 379 total votes. 66% voted yes. 34% voted no. Where would you vote on this?
I'd say yes.
Wow. I'm going no.
I don't think that we need to be scouring, and I still have...
Lawrence Frank is out there with a magnifying glass.
Yeah, and... I don't know. Burning ants or whatever. I don't know that a trade necessarily is the answer, especially because, as we've talked about on the show, the mechanics of it, I think, are kind of staggering to try to to try to get around. I mean, we do have some more cap flexibility.
Getting rid of Fee helps, but it's still just like...
With unloading Fee, but it's still like... I
have no assets.
I feel like we're just very much in a situation where it would be difficult for this team to send two out, to even get one player back. I feel like we're already sort of...
We're already two down now.
Right? Yeah, like we're already kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. I do think, so we don't have to rush Pat back. I think getting someone who doesn't necessarily, have to be the fulcrum of the offense or
George
anything,
Hill.
But somebody who can defensively... Right. Yeah, I mean, like someone like that or a Glenn Robinson. Like I'm thinking more buyout candidate is definitely worth picking up as a point guard. I don't really want the Clippers to make a trade. But I do think, we need another guard. We need a guard who can play defense or a wing who can guard guards.
Because that's the thing, right? Like, if you're trading, there's some good discourse on Twitter about it. Because, like, so if you think the Clippers' problem is they need a more north-south attacking player, you obviously don't trade for George Hill.
No.
But the team might just see it as we need someone to fill in Pat Bev's role, which is not really a facilitator.
Yeah, that's
so
where
it's George Hill.
That's kind of where I'm at right now. Is like, I mean, look, we just need somebody who can at least play consistent defense and be a body in Pat Bev's absence and what that looks like in the playoffs. You know, if they end up taking some more minutes, I mean, fine, great. And if Pat Bev is healthy, fine, great. We have the insurance. Like, either way, I still think... I still think, even though we have so many guards, man, I still
it's
think
weird.
We need another one.
Stu Quinn says, out of all the ideas I've seen, I'm convinced we're best off standing pat at the deadline, picking up Glenn Robinson the third, or using the buyout market.
Love it.
Our most tradable asset is Zoo, and I love Zoo too much. I couldn't agree more with this. The Zoo part, it's like, dude, if we trade Zoo, let's pretend that Serge is healthy.
Yeah.
If we trade Zoo, the second string defense without Zoo, it's like,
I mean, unless,
I'm not saying he's like the stopper, but it's so hard to think about the Clippers' title chances if we lose Zoo and we're just running a weird, inexperienced together small ball lineup as the bench. Like, that's a nightmare.
I think if you're losing Zoo in a trade, A, it's going to be incredibly difficult to get that kind of value back. $8 million
it's impossible.
Is not a lot of money.
It's impossible to get a starting center who is a good offensive rebounder for $8 million a year.
So you would have to be, you know, you would have to be really certain that you could get a proven contributor on the buyout market. Like, you would have to have a reasonable assurance that you could get a JaVale McGee or somebody like who has actually played the role, you know, on a championship team.
And you think about that, and it's like, well, shit, if JaVale McGee's on the buyout market, let's just pick him up and
Have
him as the third, right?
Yeah, of course.
Alfredo Rodriguez had a great take. He said, Clippers should look into strengthening the center position. They can use one more player for rebounding and overall defense. Bonus points if the center has some playmaking skills. Love that take.
Yeah,
that's a buyout market right there. Of these just scream buyout market.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, yeah, that's kind of the answer to both things. Because I agree with that, too. I think maybe we should be scouring as much for another five as we should be for a point guard.
We talked about that earlier, like a couple weeks ago or something like that. Like,
yeah.
The late game rebounding needs help. Like, guys just get gassed.
Which I never thought I'd say.
Yeah,
that we needed to add another center to the mix, but
There's some talk of, like, obviously this has to do, the reason I asked this is because obviously Luke Kennard did with his opportunity last night what Terrence Mann has done all season, if that makes sense. Like, in one swing, it was just like, well, this is why you should play me more.
Well, to me, though, this isn't a flash in the pan. I mean, his efficiency has been there all season. They just haven't
but
been
just
able.
But just in terms of, like, here's a high leverage moment.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Here's him doing his most
possible. Absolutely, absolutely. But you notice, I mean, he played the role that he was comfortable in. He had the ball in his hands a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was zipping around doing Luke Kennard things. And I think that we've struggled to put him into that role.
Yeah.
But that's not the kind of point guard that we need. We have that
exactly.
kind of point guard. We have multiple.
We have
multiple, like, can go absolutely nuclear scorer bench guys and guards who could play with the starting lineup.
For sure.
I'm not worried about that. We need somebody who defensively can soak up some possessions and be a stopper. And maybe, you know, maybe we already have that guy. Maybe Terrence Mann could be that guy, but I think it's still worth having another guard.
Clipper Spencer has an interesting point. He said there are already too many ball handlers as is.
Absolutely.
Luke Kennard can't get any playing time because he needs the ball in his hands to succeed.
Yes.
And with Kawhi, PG, Lou, and Reggie, he can't get it.
Love this.
I want a guy to QB the defense for the second unit from any position 1-3.
Oh, couldn't
Clipper
agree
Spencer,
more.
Clipper Spencer, you nailed it.
No, couldn't agree more. That's what we need. And I'm saying guard, but really I just mean, like, it can be a swingman.
A guy who can guard 1-3.
They just need to be able to guard guards is all I'm saying.
A Mo Harkless, if you will.
Yes.
Oof. Kind of nice right now. Rudy Zavala has a good take. He goes, who's out there that would make the Clippers better without giving up key players?
It's buyout guys. It's just buyout guys.
That's the thing, which is, like, when it comes to trades, it's like, who are we, like, Lowry's impossible. We don't have the assets. People are talking about how we should try and trade for Malcolm Brogdon, but they're not taking, we have one young asset.
Yeah.
Maybe two, but
you
one,
have two.
One proven young asset in Zoo.
You
and
maybe
Terrence Mann has only looked good this season. So if you're another team, you're like, why are we giving the Clippers this really high value guy?
I mean, because there's also injury concerns.
For sure.
Pretty big contract. But, I mean, I don't know. The Pacers are also the 10 seed. Like, it's not inconceivable that they could sneak their way into the playoffs.
Yeah. He's good as hell, too. Like,
yeah.
Brogdon is. I think a lot of this hinges on what Ty Lue does with Luke's playing time going forward. Dude, if Luke gets a DNP on this back-to-back, like, it's...
Dude, that would be shocking.
It would be shocking, but would you also be maybe not that shocked? And I'm not saying because Luke shouldn't play, obviously. Luke needs to play more.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't shock me if in one of these games he gets a DNP. Smash cut to him starting both games. But like, it might be weird. It's the one misstep that Ty Lue has had this season. And I don't even know if it's misstep. I guess issue is a better word for it.
It's just too many things. You know, it's too many things. He's got to focus on so many lineups that, especially like when Luke Kennard wasn't ready. He wasn't ready at the start
of the
season.
Call.
And he wasn't ready for the role that he was in.
He was a casualty of the three-guard lineup experimentation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he wasn't really... He just wasn't ready. And I think that when you have a player who is lacking confidence, which, you know, part of that is organizational. That is partially on the Clippers.
Yes.
But, you know, you don't have the time or the minutes to really, like, babysit somebody or give them a loose leash.
Yeah. Man, well, as long as Pat Bev is out, Luke Kennard should play more.
You're saying Luke Kennard should start.
Do you think Luke Kennard should start? Some people realistically think that. When Pat Bev is back.
Oh, when Pat Bev is back? No, I don't think that at all.
I don't think so, but I'm also like...
No, dude, I don't think that at all. Luke Kennard needs the ball in his hands. He doesn't need to have the ball in his hands that much with the first unit.
If you could convince him, we'll see what happens.
It's not a convincing thing, dude. It's where he's comfortable.
Yeah,
he's
true.
Always been an A1 guard. Like,
yeah.
He's going to be comfortable with the ball in his hands. I'm not saying that he can't be a spot-up shooter. I'm not saying that he can't be a cutter.
But he's got
to
commit
to it.
Because
he can do all those things. He can commit to it, man. It's just he's never going to be as comfortable. He's played one role his whole life.
Young guy, though, 24.
That's fair.
He's got a whole 76 years ahead of him. I don't know how long people live now. Coming up, we're going to be talking the eeriness of how quiet it's been, and then the best and worst defender in Clippers history. But first, hey, you've heard us talk about Built Bar constantly.
Can't stop talking about Built Bar. Had one today for breakfast.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all you need. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market, and it is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, elite tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars, which is good. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Got mint brownie versus coconut puff on the enticing eight. Who do we got? Brownie is very well represented in this bracket.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going coconut puff.
I am too, and I'm honestly only doing it because Churro Puff got robbed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just how I feel.
And I know that this is not the most popular take, but I'm a huge fan of coconut flavored things.
That's insane, but that's your...
I love it. I love coconut.
Eat them so I don't have to, you know? I literally give you boxes of Built Bars that are coconut because I don't like coconut. But that birthday cake...
That birthday cake is elite.
Y'all have a birthday cake? Go to BuiltBar.com or go to bar_built on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15. To get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Will, where could I go if I wanted to bet on this whole mess?
Oh, man, now that you're satiated, it's time to put some money on it.
Clearly.
So BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. It's the only place we trust. Football is over, we know it, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are all in full swing. Get those March Madness bets in.
Get them in.
Who knows? You can come up with a lot of money on that.
Or you haven't. You're banking on how crazy March Madness has been so far.
But BetOnline doesn't just cover sports. They also cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Mm-hmm. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up.
Ooh.
Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, welcome to Shavings.
Hey.
We're recording this on Tuesday evening.
Yeah.
Yep, felt a little eerie today on the trade market, right?
Why are we waiting? Why is everyone waiting so long?
I don't know. I don't get it.
To me, it's kind of like free agency, right? Where like everything all happens at once, but it's like, okay, so everyone is known.
They're like, we just made this $180 million deal in 5 seconds. Wow, we got good negotiators.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got to be a similar thing, right? Where,
but why?
The pieces have already got to be moving.
Yeah. How are you feeling about all these reports? So the Clippers are kind of seemingly linked to like every point guard in existence.
That's what happens when you're a contender, though.
So that's what I mean. Like the Clippers, and
especially a contender that is perceived by a lot of people to have one glaring weakness.
Yeah, for sure.
They have weaknesses. To me, that's maybe not the glaring one.
No, it's injuries and the defense.
And the defense, yeah.
Lonzo Ball was out again tonight due to a hip flexor, but is that real or is there a trade already agreed upon? What do you think about that?
I don't know. He's had a good season so far.
And he's been shooting lights out up until the hip flexor. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe it is a minor thing, but it's a reason to kind of, you know, keep him on ice.
Yeah.
Get a trade.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Yeah. Get a trade going, and, yeah, you know, it makes sense because you have to have you can't list rest anymore, right, as a reason, I'm pretty sure.
Who knows? You can if you want to pay the fine or whatever it is.
Oh, it's just nationally televised games, I guess.
And I think if you give a reason for the rest, like if you're like, rest, hip flexor, they're like, all right, cool. Arno Mandathian, who actually started that fantastic Clippers charity train we had going, had a horrible story about he had a hip flexor, got kicked off his softball team because of it.
Oh, wow.
Brutal. Do we think the Clippers make a trade? So the trade deadline's 3 p.m. Eastern on the 25th. This episode comes out the 24th. Are we seeing that Clippers trade at like 2:58? P.M. on the 25th Eastern time? We're over here on the West Coast. West Coast elite. Sorry about that. Or is it happening today when we record this podcast? And all of our What You Say Wednesday content is deemed null.
I mean, I almost think the Clippers should just stand pat and just pick up the focus on the buyout market. But
yeah,
the eerie quietness makes me think that there might be not just the Clippers, but there might be a couple of big moves.
Someone's getting Oladipo. The Clippers aren't going to get Oladipo because the Rockets want actual assets.
Yeah, or at least to have salary be off the books.
Yeah, and like a first-round pick or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, for sure.
Lucas Hahn was speculating that the Pelicans maybe want a first-round pick for Lonzo.
I don't think you're getting a first-round pick.
Yeah, and I think the Clippers could make they can make an interesting trade there, right? Because there's all those damn seconds that are unprotected.
Yeah.
And some high value guys. It's going to be interesting. I'm terrified in a good way about what's going to happen. I have some conspiracy theories. We'll see.
What do you think? You think something's going to happen for the Clips?
I think so. And I think maybe some of these guys being rested has to do with it.
Some of these guys being rested around the league or something? Oh, you mean Pat and Serge?
I mean Pat and Serge. More so Pat. I don't think Serge is going anywhere because I think Kawhi would chop Larry Frank's desk in half. But we'll see what happens. Closing out this episode, there was a lot of best defender talk on Twitter after Draymond Green just declared he was the best defender of all time. Which, dude, look, I get that all these like 90s and 80s players are insecure about where they are on like the all-time list. Can we move past this?
Yeah, like, you're also still active in the NBA with yeah. like on one of the greatest teams
like,
of all time.
Just chill. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, so in terms of Clippers, we know that the best defender ever in recent memory is between John Red Jordan and Patrick Beverley, right?
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
When they're available. Who's the worst?
Would you put Chris Paul in there?
I would put Chris Paul in there. Yeah. I'd put Chris Paul ahead of them. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
You gotta put Chris.
DeAndre was more fun to watch because he would just swat the shit out of people.
Oh, I mean, he was the best rebounder in the league.
Who's the worst defender in Clippers history?
Hmm.
Other than Milos.
I mean, Milos.
Because he is the god of elite, fun-looking passes and just not caring on defense.
Yeah, yeah. And the turnovers, if there's turnovers happening
like,
too,
it's
super
all
rough.
Bad.
And
not like bus not included. Like we're not going to talk like Oluwakandi or like something like that. But
worst defender. I mean, Lou Williams definitely belongs in that conversation. But he has been a lot
recently.
He has been better, so that's definitely taming that.
I don't think anyone's close to Milo.
Yeah, no one is close to Milo.
It takes a special, just like I do a couple of things.
You're giving up, like you're giving up points on the other end.
Yeah,
you just hope you can hit more shots.
I think I have a theory that I think every team needs a foreign-born player who is real fancy with the pass. The Nuggets have one right now.
Yeah,
Milos being the 19th guy on the bench.
Nuggets have two, really.
That's true. Milos being like the 15th guy on this Clippers bench would be so fun in blowout games.
Yeah.
It would be useless for any, if the team was healthy, it'd be fun, but I think every team needs one of those. Let us know who you think the worst defender in Clippers history is at Locked On Clips.
You putting Montrezl Harrell in there?
Spicy. Wow.
Terrible defender.
I mean, yeah, part of that's Doc. Part of that is Trez, for sure. That's
terrible, a really defender. Good
call. First year Terrence Mann, but we're not going to count first years because we're counting whole careers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trez might be up there. That's also mostly Doc's fault. That's like asking us to guard Jokic.
Yeah, that's fair.
You keep scoring on me, man. You gotta switch me out. You stay out there. You stay out there and you learn what you did. That about wraps it up, right? Anything else in shavings?
No. I think that'll do it. Tomorrow we'll have a recap of the first game of the back-to-back against the Spurs. Hopefully that's a dub.
Let's hope so. We're gonna preview also what we need to do versus the Spurs again.
Again. Double take.
Thirsty Thursday. Then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these people tell their boss they were listening to us when they were supposed to be working?
absolutely do that. B, you can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app, but we're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. I think we're on pretty much every podcast platform. I if you know of one that we're not on, let us know. If you're listening to a Linux-based thing or something, let us know. We'll try
to get
on
matter?
There.
I don't know how computer programs work. But is there a Linux-only podcast, though?
I have no idea. But subscribe if you haven't already. It really helps us out.
Yeah, we would really appreciate it. Thank you all so much for the reviews. We'll back at you tomorrow. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.